And now, another timely and powerful message from Pastor Emmanuel Williams and Imitators of God Ministries, Colossal Vivacious Church in Tallahassee.
Our text, Numbers chapter 6, I'm going to read verse 25. We did verse 24 in the month of February and part of March. Today I want to continue. Amen. Again, you know, I read a lot of commentaries, and every commentary I see, I see as the words which preface this particular prayer is, in every commentary, and I get a little concerned, because it's called the Aaronic prayer. This is not a prayer from Aaron. Let me say it again. Is it Aaron or Aaron?
Aaron.
Let me say that. This is not the Aaronic prayer. This is a prayer given by God to Moses so Aaron can speak over Israel. Can you see? Are you hearing me? So when I see the Aaronic prayer, I'm concerned. Because let me say it again. This is a prayer from whom? God the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, given to Moses, so he could give to Aaron to speak over the Israelites. This is not Aaron's prayer. Aaron did not come up with that prayer. Oh, Father, we thank you. So let's read it one more time so we can put it into perspective. The Bible says in Numbers chapter 6, verse 24, the Lord Jesus, that's the prayer. Let's go back to verse 23. Yeah, 23. So we could read everything in context. So the Lord Jesus told Moses, speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, on this wise, you shall what? Bless the children of Israel. This is how you bless the children of Israel. You got to say some things and not just say anything. This is what you say. That is, saints, hear me very carefully. That is why when you pray, you've got to be strategic. When you pray, you cannot just say anything. Well, you see, the Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 12, God looks over his word. What he looks over? His word. Not your opinion. Not my opinion. But he looks over his word to what? To perform it. God has one obligation, and that is to his word. That is why God told Aaron what to say over his people. And that is why it's important that you and I know the word of God so we can pray properly. So when we pray God's word, God is obligated to his word. Well, I thought the amen would be almost stronger than that. But that's okay, because we are getting there, amen? We are getting there. I can't wait for the day when we come in the house of God and begin to pray the word of God and see the glory of God fell in the house of God. Pray the word of God, amen? Pray the word of God. Pray about the word of God. Father, you said in Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from my mouth. I'm not going to say anything else. But what you said in 3 John 1 verse 2, this is, he said, and since that is how, I'm telling you how I pray. I said, you said in 3 John 1 and 2, he said, it is, you said, it's your desire that I be in health. You said it, and because you said it, I will be healthy. That's what you said. And because your word never returns void, I know it's taking place in my body. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It matters not how I feel. Your word never returns void. You're obligated. Are you getting what I'm saying, saints? That's why he said, you got to tell Aaron what to say over my people. And here is why, hear me, saints, hear me very carefully. Here is why Aaron had to say it over and over and over and over, because it takes time to move from the head to the heart. Yeah, are you getting me? Sometimes it takes time, alas, because of the challenges we go through in this life. Are you with me? It takes time for the word of God to move from our head to our hearts. And when it moves to the heart, that's when you begin to act on it automatically. And when you begin to act on it automatically, that is when you change. You see, that is when it what? Change. So you hear people saying, Pastor, you have to say that again. You have to say that again. And then I say, what did I say? You cannot tell me. And if you don't hear me carefully, saints, don't make the mistakes I made. I sat in church for years. For years. And underestimate repetition. Hallelujah. I was saying, Pastor, it's preaching this sermon again this Sunday. Hear me. You can, I'm telling you what I used to say. And I could not say what he said last Sunday. I just said a few things this Sunday he mentioned last Sunday. And here am I, just spiritually gullible. Just a follower. Because I hear people saying it. Are you with me? Saying, Pastor is preaching the same sermon, and then I tuned him out. Not realizing that's God's method. That's God's method to drive what's in my head to my heart. So I can behave. When it gets into your heart, that's when it becomes automatic. And that's when it ushers in a different behavior. And behavior changes you. So don't you underestimate repetition. It is the mother of? Repetition is the mother of? Learning. Amen. Praise the Lord. So that's why God is telling Moses, tell Aaron, this is what you say. I'm going to give you what to say. The entire Bible is what God has given us to say. You see, I had people ask me hear me, saints. I'm just saying what people have asked me. I'm not tooting my horn. I've had people say, Pastor, how you spend an hour, 2 hours praying? I just open this and I say what it says. I just open the Bible and I say what it says. I'm not at the altar saying, God, oh, I thank you, make a way, God. No. There is nothing wrong with that. But I prefer take the word of God, and you said, Father, I can make my way. Prosperous. I'm not asking you to make a way. I'm not asking you to do what you told me to do. Oh, are you getting me? Say, I can stand here and say, Lord, make a way. God, open doors. Yeah, I can. Oh, I can say, Father, you said, this book of the law shall not depart from my mouth, but I shall meditate therein to observe. And then he says, then shall I make my way prosperous. Well, maybe not. That's okay. Let's get into the word of God. I'm at a place where now I'm beginning to realize my errors as a Christian. And I ask myself, why am I not further along the way? You see, and it's because, Pastor Webb, I realize I take a lot of things for granted in here. You see, I hadn't crossed over from the Old Testament mentality to the New Testament mentality. You see, Old Testament mentality, God did for them. He did for them. He did for them. They begged God. Are you with me? Because they had an inferior covenant. And when they begged God, finally God got up and then God delivered them. They refer to that as his mighty right hands. You remember that? It doesn't matter. And hear what I'm saying. God did everything a God could do for his people, and their faith in him never increased. God opened up a Red Sea. In the presence of these people, their hardened heart remained the same. Moses took a rock and struck it. Water came out. Their hardened heart remained the same. Actually, we haven't crossed over. We are still behaving like them. We still pray like them. Well, I reach a point where now in my Christian life I'm just tired of failing. Tired of what? Failing. Failing myself, failing my family, failing the body of Christ. I want to do what the word says. And I want to be responsible. I want to take the initiative. Amen? Because I have a better covenant. Do we have what? A better covenant. The Bible says it's based on better promises. Based on better promises. That's Hebrews 8:6. The Bible says Jesus is the mediator. Can you go to Hebrews chapter 8 verse 6? Hear me, saints. Hear me carefully. I haven't forgot why I came here. Amen. Hebrews chapter 8 verse 6. I'm doing this because sometimes we forget what we have at our disposal. Amen. But now hath he obtained the more excellent ministry, that's Jesus, by how much also he is the mediator of a what? The word better here means more superior. Can you say more superior? The Old Testament saints never had the name of Jesus to use. They never had power over principalities. Are you with me? They never had power over the devil. They were never given power over the devil because of the old covenant. The covenant they had was a covenant that was ratified with the blood of bulls and goats. So it wasn't superior. God did everything for them. This is how the new covenant, this is how the old covenant Christians were. You know when you have a baby, a little child, and you have to give them laws. Okay, so he stretches and touches the stove, and you know what it's going to do to him? He's going to what? Burn him. So you say to him, do not touch the stove. You know, you're not going to explain. Because he's 3, 4, 5 years old. You cannot explain to him, well, if you touch the stove, you're going to get a third degree burn and it mess up your flesh. You got to go to the doctor. Then they must have insurance. You don't explain all that to a child, right? You just tell him, don't touch. And if they touch, you pop them. Are you with me? That's how the Old Testament Christians were. A bunch of babies. And so that is why God popped them. But when that child has grown to be an adult, do you do that to him? No. The relationship, the covenant is different. That is where we are with God. But we haven't crossed over mentally. Oh, bless God. That is why the Bible says it's a better covenant established upon what? Better promises. They could not understand that, you know, if you do this, you're going to open up a door to the devil. He's going to come in and destroy you. God didn't have time to explain that to them. He just gave them laws, like you give a child laws. Laws. Are you with me, saints? And so when that child grows up, that child knows automatically. You don't put your hands in the oven. You're not 2, 3, 4 years old. Now you are now where Hebrews 13:31. Don't turn there. It says, when I was a child, I behaved as a child. But when I became what? A man, I put away childish things. No, you put away childish things and now you're an adult. So putting away childish things is getting rid of the old covenant. That's what God did. He instituted a new covenant. And here is God thinking, okay, you know, I'm going to ensure that this new covenant is ratified with the blood of my son. And then I'm going to give them the power in them so they can use it. Here God is so excited saying, I am going to give them what Adam had. Glory be to God. And then God got so excited and to God's dismay, he's looking at us. You still asking me to do what I told you to do? With all that power I give you. Everything is in you. And you're still asking me. Sometimes I believe that's how God is. When we pray and say, God, you make a way. God is looking at Jesus and saying, I thought. I said you could make your way. He's looking at Jesus. Did we do something wrong, son? Well, anyhow. Let's move on. Amen. Glory be to God. Glory be to Jesus. And so here is Aaron. He's speaking over the Israelites because God told him what to say. He told them, the Lord bless you. Amen. You have an empowerment to prosper. Then he said, the Lord keep you. God is able to protect, provide, guide. We said, keep men's Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. Remember we said that. Jehovah what? Shammah. And we looked at Psalms 121 where the word Shammah is used 7 times. So God is telling you over and over, he's able to preserve us. That's what he's telling them. He wants them to know while they're going through the wilderness that his preservation is available. His protection is available. His provision is available. Saints, are we journeying through this life? Well, then we need to know that God's preservation is available. That God's protection is available. That God's provision is available. Are you with me, saints? We need to, not only do we need to know that, we need to place a demand on it. We need to do what? Yeah, you need to say some things. You need to do what? Say something. Say something. The centurion said to Jesus, speak the word only. It doesn't matter what you feel. It doesn't matter what you see. Speak the word with tears flowing through your eyes. Say, God, I know my body's going through issues, but according to your word, are you getting me sense? I feel bad, God, but your word says. So I'm telling you where I've been. I'm telling you what I... So Lord, I see what I know, because I live in two dimensions simultaneously. Yes, in the natural, that's how it is. But I know in the spirit. And so God help me with the tears flowing from my eyes. Since are you getting what I'm saying? Are you getting what I'm saying? That is how you live the Christian. That's how we live the Christian life. And eventually, what happens is the eternal lifestyle eclipses the earthly lifestyle, and you begin to experience heaven on earth. You see, but you got to hang in there. You got to stay right there. Amen. And think the right. That's why, brothers and sisters, it's so important to keep reading God's word. Mm-hmm. It's important, because as you read, God is going to remind you of where you are and what's happening. He will tell you what's going on right now in your life. Amen. Instead of you sitting down and your face look like you're sucking salt. Amen. It's always good just to open the Bible. Amen. The days I read the Bible the most are the days I'm feeling God is so far from me. Because I know that's not the truth. I know this is just a moment. Amen. I know he said, Lord, I'm with you always. Even unto the end. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. That's the word, and I believe it. God, I know because of what I'm going through, you feel far from me. But that's how it is in the natural. But you're right here. All you have got to do is look right down and say, I know you're right here. You are there all the time. That's where you are. In my heart. It's not based on what I feel. Are you with me, saints? And so God, when you do that, God says, "Whoa, somebody's getting mature. He's getting mature. He's moving from a baby. He's understanding." And so God is able to give you more understanding. You see, that's the nuts and bolts of Christianity. You don't just get carried away. No, you got to know what's happening. You got to know God's word and believe what's happening. Or else you live the Christian life and there'll be no change. Can you say no change? No change. You know how you change? You got to humble yourself and agree with God. And say, God, I'm wrong, you're right. Mm-hmm. You're wrong, I'm wrong, you're right. Amen. I'm not going to define my Christian life by what I feel. No. I'm not going to do that. That's what most of us do. Neither I'm going to bring you down to my level. My peanut brain can't understand what's going on, but I know you've got me covered. Mm-hmm. I know Psalms 91 verse 1 says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide. Yeah, that's where I know, that's who I am. I know I'm under your shadow. It doesn't feel that way in the natural, but your word says. And I know I'm abiding because I'm in your word. Well, that is what you take to God. And that's how you make your way. Are you getting me? So that is how you can open the Bible and pray for 2 hours and the time goes just like that. Because what you've done, you've prayed the word of God. And what you've done like Aaron. You've taken God's word and sprinkled it over your life. You sprinkle that word over your life. Amen. And angels are watching as you step out. Because God has one priority, that's to look over his word. Angels are stepping out and said, he just said it. We're going to ensure it happens. Oh God, we give you praise. We give you glory. That's why I said at the start, how many of you thank God for his word? Because God has done us well. God has done us well. Amen. And so I said, brothers and sisters, that it's important for us to know God's intention. Very important. God's intention for us as far as these scripture verses are concerned. You need to know what God is thinking when you say, the Lord bless me. You and I need to know what God is thinking when you say, the Lord keeps me. You and I need to know what the Lord means when he says, the Lord make his face. Verse 25. The Lord Jesus is making his face to shine upon Emmanuel John Williams. You got to put your name in there. Because notice we said last week, it is the word thee means you. Thou means y'all. This is not y'all. This is not thou. This is thee. Can you say that's personal? So the Bible says, so God told Aaron to remind the Israelites that my face is shining upon them. Can we take some time to dissect that? Tell your neighbor, the Lord make his face to shine upon you. Yeah, yes, yes. That's what the word says. Oh, what a blessing. Isn't that wonderful? To be going to work and know that God's face is shining towards me. It doesn't matter how dark it is at the office. God's face shining on me. Oh, God, we give you glory. I mean, when you think about that, when your mind is full of God's face and is shining on you, what type of doubt or worry that can penetrate? No, you become impenetrable. God's face is shining towards me. And this is what it means. In the Hebrew, it literally means that God smiles upon you. Oh, glory be to God. Can you say all teeth? That, oh my God. Yeah, God is smiling on you. You get up every, you're asleep. You got up. Do you know what that does for you when it moves from your head to your heart? Tell them that I'm smiling upon them. Oh, what a blessing. Thank you, Master, for smiling upon me. Amen. It's just a metaphor for someone looking at you with a big old smile. All teeth, smiling because they're pleased with you. Can you say God is pleased with me? Pleased with me. He's pleased with me. His face is always shining towards me. His eyes are always upon me. Amen. It's no wonder that the songwriter write, if his eyes are on the sparrow, then I know he watches. So I'm going to sing because I'm happy. Sing because I'm free. Because his eyes are on the sparrow. And even his eye know he watches. Because I'm worth more than a sparrow. I am a child of the Most High God. Oh God, I give you glory. Since it does something to your Christian walk when you know that the Lord Jesus smiles on you. Oh, hallelujah. Did I tell you that the title of this sermon is A Look of Approval from God? Tell your neighbor, I'm approved by God. I'm approved by God. A look of approval from God. Oh, God is smiling at you. He's smiling at me. It's all teeth. From our Father and from the Lord Jesus. Can you say, thank God Almighty? Thank God Almighty. Hallelujah. Oh, God, we thank you for your grace. And we thank you for your mercy. Hallelujah. I am worth more than sparrows. And if he's looking at them, sure enough, as they said, he's looking at me. His face shines upon me. Tell your neighbor, God favors me. Yeah, it's a person's face towards you. It means the attention is set on you. God's attention is set on me. Say, God's attention is set on. And since you see why sometimes we have to say it over and over again, because that particular truth is going to take some time to seep from your mind to your heart, because you and I know about ourselves so much. It might be difficult for us to think that God is always smiling at us. You know, it's going to take some time to sink into your heart. Listen to me. God has to reveal. Hear me. Revelation of the truth of God's word doesn't come overnight. That is why it's important to continue saying it. Because what you're doing, as you're saying it, is you are sowing the seeds. You are sowing the seed. That's what you're doing, right? You are sowing the seeds. And you know what happens? The Bible talks about there are four different type of heart conditions. There is a pathway soil. There is a stony soil. There is a pathway stony. There is one more. A thorny soil. And there is good soil. So God's word has to penetrate that path. Penetrate the stones. Penetrate the thorns. And finally, can you say finally? Good soil. And when good soil, when it takes root in good soil, it grows and brings forth fruit. Can you say fruit? That is revelation. Oh, glory be to God. That is when you understand. Oh my God. That's what you're saying about me. That's when you change. That's when change, true change comes. That's why somebody said to me, Pastor, years I've been trying to change. I said, that's the problem. You've been trying to. No, change happens automatically. And so I said, let us do an analysis of what you do to ensure you get to experience the change. Amen. And everything they mentioned, it's in their own strength. It's in their own strength. No. The change is effortless. Can you say effortless? Effortless. Change is effortless. The only thing you have to do is one Saturday afternoon passed away. You plan ahead of time. And you say, well, I've been busy this week. I haven't been able to seek the Lord. But this coming Saturday, from 2 to 3:30, from 2 to 4:30, I'm getting myself a good exercise in the morning, clear my mind. And from 2 to 4 is the Lord and I. I'm going to sit down at Starbucks, or I'm going to sit down in a park somewhere. I'm going to get me the King James Version. I'm going to get, not only that, I remembered when I began my pursuit to change, I would go in the library, I would print out the Bible in the Amplified Version, in the NLT Version. I would print out five or six different versions, and I would be in the library, because the King James Version was a little tough for me. So I would print out what I'm going to study, and I would have them next to each other. So I read one verse in King James, and I said, oh, I don't understand everything, so I'm going to print out the ESV. Because I found out, Jesus said, he who finds me, you got to seek to find. So that was my way of seeking. I found out they were not seeking. They were just talking. And you hear me? Since you hear me, you don't take time to seek God like that. You'll never change on this earth. Oh yeah, you'll change when the rapture takes place. In the twinkling of an eye. But I'm showing the change that's necessary to become a son and daughter of God on this earth. Forget it. Forget it. And hear me. God is taking no shortcuts. As the Apostle Paul, he thought he had it going on. He took 3.5 years and went to the desert in Arabia to reconsider some things. Well, he went with 5 books, the Pentateuch. He came out with 13 books. And then he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 10, he said, listen to me what he said. He said, I am what I am by the grace of God. But this is the kicker. He said, God's grace was not given to me in vain. He said, here's why. For I labor more abundantly than them all. He said, I study more than Peter. I studied more than James. I studied more than God. I studied more than the 12 apostles. My God. And he said, yet not I, but the grace. You don't. Yeah. I am God. Are you getting me, saints? He said, I put my time in.
My God.
Some of you think it's just easy. Some of you think it's just like that. Good luck. Anyhow, and you know what hurts me? Elder Brenda, some of us have the time. Some of us do what? Anyhow, God, we give you glory. Isn't God a wonderful God? Tell your neighbor, God's face still shines towards me. And you know his face is shining towards you whether or not you study. Well, some of you look at me like, You know, God's face still shines towards you, whether or not you study, whether or not you pursue Him. Amen. Because it's not based on what you do, it's based on what Jesus did.
Yes.
Amen. Even if His face is shining on you, you are not doing due diligence, it just means you'll go nowhere. You'll have no victory in your life. But if somebody else is doing due diligence and they know that God is smiling at them, oh, see they're going to make their way through life. That's how it is. Since that's the way it is. And I wish somebody had told me that when I just got saved. I wish somebody had said, son, I'm talking too fast. I wish someone had said, son, you need to sit down and learn to make your way. Don't wait for anybody to wave their hands over you or lay hands on you until you get bald headed. That it doesn't happen that way. You got a part to play. Oh, I wish they had told me that when I got started. Oh, hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. Now, why would this not come on here? Oh, there we go. Tell your neighbor again, I have a look of approval from God. Oh, man, when God mentioned that to me last night, I felt so good. I have a look of approval from God. God favors me. Amen. His attention is set on me. Can you say His attention is set on me? Oh, His affection is set on me. He's smiling at me. Tell you, I'm somebody. Because the Lord Jesus is smiling at me. Even if your heart is having problems, agreeing with the truth, it's the truth anyhow. It's the truth. Now, before I explain to you why God is able to smile at us all the time, because the truth be told, brothers and sisters, we are not always smiling at ourselves. We are not always in agreement with ourselves. Amen? We don't always smile because we know ourselves so well. Before you start to think about yourself, oh, I failed here. I failed over there. Oh, I didn't do that. That's not God. God is not that kind of God. Amen? He's not that kind of God. You know, sometimes I say, I got so much to teach, and the time is just, it just doesn't agree with me. So before I show you why God is able to smile at you, amen, let me take some time to explain what the word face means. Face, in that verse right here, the Lord make His face shine upon you. Face means, it means to turn towards. It means to be before someone, staring at them straight in the face. look, it is like somebody who's so much in love with you. Somebody is so much in love with, this is the image, that wherever you turn in the house, they're in front of you. Can you imagine? Now, if somebody does that to you, how many of you know you're going to get irritated? But that's what God does. That's how it is in the spirit. Just smile all over the place. That is what the Hebrew is conveying. And doesn't that just something to you to know God is like that? That's how He looks at you in the spirit. While you are thinking about yourself, well, I did wrong, I'm so bad, things didn't work out, God. Smiles. Can you say thank you, Jesus? So the next time you're going, you're hard on yourself, think of Jesus just smiling at you. Amen. Oh, God, I know you're there. Jehovah Shammah. The God who is there, we said last week. Today He said, not only I'm there, I'm there smiling at you. I'm in your face, up in your face, smiling at you. Oh, glory be to God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Now, let me introduce a scripture verse to you from Ephesians to bring it home. Amen. I know I won't finish, but let me do as much as I can. Amen. Praise the Lord. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4. Very interesting verse. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4. Because God, hear me, saints. God always had the New Testament on mind. God had to start somewhere. Mm-hmm. So he started with the old covenant. But it was always God's intention to introduce the new covenant. So even in the Old Testament, God still gave us glimpses of how he intends to deal with us. Amen? So we are told here in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4, Paul is speaking to the saints in Ephesus. The Holy Ghost has impressed on Paul's heart to say this to them. So it says here, according as he hath chosen us in him. So this is what he's saying. He's saying, God the Father have chosen you and I. In whom? In him. That him is referring to Jesus. Now the book of Ephesians chapter 4, in chapter 4 and chapter 3, there is a word, a key word called in Christ, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. So this is who we are in Christ. And since, let me just cut to the chase. That is why God is able to look at you and I and smile all the time, because he sees us in Christ. He sees us how? If you look through, if you're looking at me through a green glass, what will you see? A green Emmanuel. What do you understand? If you're looking at me through a red glass, what will you see? A red Emmanuel. If you're looking at me through a yellow glass, what will you see? A yellow Emmanuel. God is looking at us through Jesus Christ. And because he's accepted Jesus and he loves Jesus, then he's always smiling. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, any human being in Christ is a what? But you have to be where? In Christ. And if you're in Christ, you are a new creature. The word new here referred to a species that has never existed before. Can you say there is a new me God is looking at? Yes, yes, yes. Your spirit is the recreated spirit of Jesus Christ. And that spirit of God, the Bible said that spirit, God has sealed that spirit. Can you say sealed?
Sealed.
Yeah, that's in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13. God still protected it. That spirit is protected, and that's what God is looking at. That perfected spirit. Now, you may be thinking and looking at all your past, all your issues, all your failures. God is looking at you through Christ, that perfected spirit, and he's smiling. Oh, I'm in love with Elder David. I'm in love with, oh, Minister Jim. Oh, Elder Pauline is my daughter. I love her. Oh, bless God. Sister Caroline, I'm just head over heels over her. Oh, that God is smiling saying that. While you and I say, me and my poor self, and sorry me. God is smiling saying, oh, here goes. You go, you go. But this is something, doesn't that just blow your mind sometimes? That is why sometimes it is good to just teach the word of God. Just take time and just go down the word of God and teach it. So the Bible says, according as he hath chosen us, God chose us in whom? When did he choose us? Before. That now notice before the foundation of the world, why? That we should be
holy.
And what? That's how God, that's why God is smiling, because as far as God is concerned, you are holy and without blame. It's right here. In Christ. Where, whom, what? Now you are saying to yourself, I'm not holy, I'm not blameless. God doesn't think that way.
Well,
ooh, glory be to Jesus. Talk about freedom. That'll free you to praise God. Oh, glory be to God. You may be saying, I got issues. God is saying, I see you holy, son. I got problems. God says, I see you blameless, son.
Yes.
If only you see what I see.
Hallelujah.
That is why I can keep smiling at you. It's going to be all right. You see, no, when you know these things, they change your Christian life. They get you to love God more. Hear me, I'm going to say something. They get you to love God more and not take advantage of God's grace. Yeah, it makes you to want to do right. That's what it does. It doesn't make you get close to sin. No. All of a sudden, man, when God is doing that for me, oh, I'm going to do God right. Well, that's called motivated by love. Yes, I'm just, because of what God has done for me, I'm just motivated to love him. And that's why, when you understand that, that's why praying becomes easy. Worshiping becomes easy. Since we need to know some things about God. He's a lover. He's a forgiver. He's not a condemner. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8 verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. Here it goes again. To those who are in Christ. That's the word condemnation means unfit for use. Human beings may consider you and I unfit for use, not God. God never considers you unfit for use. The devil is a liar. That is why God smiles at me. Can you say all teeth? Oh, oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Yes. I want you to know there are two before in this passage, two words before. You see, according as he has chosen us before. That's before here means prior to the foundation. But the second before, Lord, is a loaded word. Can we go through that second before? Oh, God, we give you glory. That word before him in love is a word, you know, we took, in case you're not sure, we took, in case you're not aware, we took 5 years to teach through the book of Ephesians. I'm not proud to say that, but listen here. We turned over every stone. We turned over every word. We looked at the Greek. We looked at how it's used. Amen. Oh, glory be to Jesus. So according to this right here, it says that God hath chosen us in Jesus prior to the foundation of the world that we should be holy and blameless. Here is the before. Before here means directly in front of. That's the word for shine in the Old Testament. That's the phrase that replaced New Testament. What replaced face shine upon in New Testament is before. It means directly in front of. It means in the sight of. So God chose us just to be in the sight.
My God. Come on now, Apostle Griffin.
Isn't God a wonderful God? That's why he can see us blameless and holy. Listen to me. Holiness is not something you achieve on your own. God declare you holy. It's a declaration. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 verse 24, he said, put on. No. He said, put on the new man which was created in righteousness and true holiness. Oh, well, you just got to put it on. You don't go manufacture it. You don't come to church early to be considered holy. You don't wear long dresses to become holy. No, that's not. No, I'm not advocating. Now, let me make that straight. I'm not saying use improper clothing. But I'm saying that doesn't define you as being holy or not. Not according to God's word. Can you say what? Not according to God's word. Now, if you're a Christian, God will talk to you to dress appropriately. Can you say we got to balance it out? We got to do what? Balance it out. I give you the joke of that young lady who came to church. I went to a pastor's conference in Colorado. And one of the pastors was speaking. He said, so what we had a breakout session. And they were talking about the saints, you know. What should we do as pastors? Ooh, can I breathe? I feel the power of God all over my body. Thank you. Ooh. The book of Ephesians. I love the book of Ephesians. Listen, hear me. That book freed me up. When I was done with Ephesians, I got up. I said, oh my God, I'm really free. And the very thing I said, oh my God, I'm free from myself. I had to be free. I wasn't free from me. Oh, but Ephesians freed me from me. Oh, glory be to God. So we were here just speaking, and the pastor said, well, what should he do? Because he said, they had gone out and they had done an evangelistic outreach, and a lot of people joined the church. And you know, when unsafe comes to the church, they do not know better. They dress anyhow. They dress what they have. Just like that. That's the very same thing they were experiencing in the church in Corinth. But it's not with dress. It's with respect to how they praise God, how they worship, because you had unsaved women and men coming to the church. And so they said, Paul, what should we do? That's why you have Corinthians 1st and 2nd. It's a bunch of questions. Amen. So let me finish quickly. So they launched an evangelistic outreach. A lot of people got saved. They had a women's prayer group. And when a prayer group, and they sat in a circle, they started with about 15, 20 people after the evangelistic. And so all the women who got saved came. They came with their tight clothing. They came with their short dresses. Are you with me? And so some of the ladies in church went to the pastor and said, Pastor, you got to stop them from coming. Because, you know, we don't wear short children. So the pastor said, just give me a second. Let me talk to God about it. You know, let me just talk to God about it. So he went to God. And, you know, he said he didn't feel in his spirit. God told him to do what the lady said. So he told him, just give him some time. And he said, God, please, can you move? He said, I love these believers. Amen. And I also love the new ones who are coming. But we don't want to chase them away. So can you somehow? So they had prayer meeting once, the second time, the fourth time they had prayer meeting, one of the ladies said, you know, they said, I have a request. She said, Pastor and the other ladies, I just got saved. I don't have clothing. All I have is what I used to go to the club with. And I would like some clothing. So they had the prayer meeting about 12 o'clock. By 6 p.m., she had 12 dresses. They covered her from the neck to her feet. 12. The women who was after the pastor to tell her change her dressing, they rush out. They rush out at Macy's. They rush out to the mall. Got the ladies some nice dresses. And she was, and notice what happened. Everybody was protected. Everybody was kept into the church. You get what I'm saying? Sometimes you got to work with people where they are until the Lord touches their hearts. I say this to say that that lady in particular, they were concerned about. She became one of the greatest leaders in the church. She started a business and she's one of the greatest tithers in the church. Can you imagine if the pastor had listened to these ladies that tell him, "Go"? Can you imagine? Maybe should have taken offense and said, well, these people, they are not nice, I'm leaving. I just thought I would share testimony with you, amen? And it doesn't mean the ladies who talked to the pastor, these are bad people. They are concerned about the body of Christ because there is protocol in the house of God. Amen? Good people, all good people. But we have to wait for God to work with people, amen? And talk to them. The Bible says, speak the truth in love. In love. I say all this to say that as the church grows, I'm believing God for everybody to come. All type of fish. We just have to learn to clean the fish properly. Amen. All type of fish. The Bible says, go into the world. To every creature. Amen. Anybody love the Lord this morning? The Bible says that God has chosen us before Him in love. In what? Because of His love. Not because you and I deserve it. Do you see what I'm saying? It's because of His what? Don't you ever forget. You see this right here, this colon, very powerful. Chose us because of what?
Love.
His love. Not because you and I, we are good people. Or because we think we are better than others. He did because of his love. Read verse 5. Let me show you verse 5 quickly and we'll bring it to a close. I'm going to deal with verse 5 next week. Now look at verse 5. It says, having predestinated us. Can you say what? Predestinated us. In unto what? The adoption of children by whom? God beforehand adopted us. Can you say that's what predestination means? Beforehand.
Oh, hallelujah.
God adopted us by whom? Jesus Christ to himself. Here is why he did it. According to the good pleasure of his will. Because it pleasurizes him. It makes him feel good. Not because you are good. And not because you are worthy. Because of who he is.
Please take time to meditate on the Word and let it sink into your heart and soul and mind today. Knowing that the Christian who meditates on the Word will be like a tree planted by the water, bringing forth fruit in its season and prospering in all that he does. But what if you aren't a Christian today? What if you don't know if you're bound for heaven as a forgiven child of God? If that's you, then let's take care of it right now if you're ready. Do you believe that Jesus died for your sins? Are you ready to be forgiven of your sins and washed clean and made new? Are you ready to begin your new life in Christ? Then turn to God right now and say, Lord, I love you. I need you. I repent of my sins. Lord, please forgive me and wash me clean. I receive your forgiveness right now as I put my faith in Jesus as my Savior. God, please lead me and teach me and show me how to live from now on. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And if you're looking for a good church family, you'll be welcomed with open arms at Imitators of God Ministries, Colossal Vivacious Church in Tallahassee, located at 4750 Capital Circle Southeast near Tram Road. Sunday school begins for all ages at 10 a.m. and the morning service begins at 11. And the Wednesday evening service begins at 7. This is a life-giving, multicultural, multi-generational church where people of all races, backgrounds, and walks of life come together to worship, to be inspired in their love for God, to develop relationships, and to be empowered to live out God's purpose for their lives. Find more information on their website, imitatorsofgodministries.com, or call the church, 850-408-8496.